Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 31 through 38 together. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and as our custom has become on Sunday mornings, I will read the odd verses. You get to read along with me on the even verses as we go through the text here in Mark chapter 8, and I'll begin in verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him, and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. As we begin in the message today, that is the title, Profit and Loss. But I got to thinking about a lot of the songs that we sang today. Isn't he wonderful? The lily of the valley. Why do I sing? Because of Jesus. Revive us again. He keeps me singing. And near the cross. Almost every one of those songs had to do with our Savior. And you're really just in kind of an introduction. Honestly, the most blessed prophet that we have in our lives is that of Jesus Christ. And really, he is our everything. And, I was just thinking and just, you know, thoughts come to me and sometimes I have to shoo them away because rabbit trails are kind of my downfall in life. But I couldn't shoo this one away. And I have this thought in my mind. As a song in our songbooks, and oftentimes in the past I've sung it as a special company with some other things, but since my accompanist is over in Children's Church, I'm going to fly solo on this one. All right? Just a beautiful song, but I want you to think about what we spent the last, 25 minutes doing? And just thinking about the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Just think about it. The name of Jesus. And honestly and truly, I can say to you with all my heart, he's my greatest prophet in life. And as we look at this scripture and we think of our Savior and the words he spoke, As we've spent the time this morning, and Brother and Mrs. Campbell, I want to thank you so much for putting these things together. And we know the Lord is the orchestrator of it all. But can I tell you something? There's an eternal profit and loss in life. Jesus said here in our text, "For what shall it profit a man," in verse 36, "if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You know, there's an eternal nature to profit and loss. If you really think about it, eternally, there is a profit. That profit is heaven and a home in heaven. And that loss is eternal damnation and condemnation in a place called hell. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. You know, this world and this earth kind of plays that off, right? All the lost crowds says, "Well, I'm just going to go party in hell with all my buddies." I'm sorry, folks. That's not how it works. There is a real heaven and there is a real hell. There is a real place of eternal life and there's a real place of eternal death. Can I tell you something? There's something true to the principle of eternal profit and eternal loss. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." In John chapter 3, we understand this passage of scripture. We've heard it many times, especially verse 16, but beginning at verse 15, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Can I tell you something? That's eternal loss. Eternal loss, perishing forever in a place called hell, is eternal loss. But having everlasting life, that's eternal profit, eternal gain for us because of Jesus Christ. "For God sent not his Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned." You know what that is? Profit. Profit. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." What's that? Loss. It's a loss. We understand because the reason for that loss is because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And those that have the eternal profit of Jesus Christ is because they have believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In Romans chapter 5, if you want to turn your Bibles over there. Romans chapter 5, and as you do, I want to read a very famous verse to you. It has to do with profit and loss. "For the wages of sin is death." You know what that is? Loss. It's loss. "But the gift of God," profit, "is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, our scriptures are filled with eternal profit and eternal loss. These principles do exist. It's not just something that happens on Wall Street or in your bank account or in your 401k or your portfolio or whatever you have out there. Can I tell you something? It's a real eternal principle. Eternal profit or eternal loss. Are you there in Romans chapter 5? Look at verse 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead." Can I tell you what that is? Loss. Loss. "But much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." You know what that is? Profit. Profit. "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation," loss. "But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification," profit. prophet. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, loss, much more they which receive abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ, prophet. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, loss. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life, profit. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, loss. So by the obedience of one, profit, many shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, loss. Grace did much more abound. Profit. You see, folks, there's great principle in eternal profit and loss. Eternal loss is sin, condemnation, death and suffering in a place in a torment called hell. Eternal profit is heaven. What we have to look forward to through the gift of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? You can't pay for it with money. Can't buy it. It's a free gift. And you know what? That's 100% profit. It is. How many of you would love 100% profit? Wouldn't that be fantastic? You say that doesn't work in our world today. Works in God's world. That's why it's an eternal principle. That's why it's better than what the world can offer. I mean, hey, listen, everything that you get out of things, you have to put something into it. We don't have to put anything into this. It's 100% profit. It's a free gift. Free gift. And you know what? It's far better than the alternative, which is a loss. Condemnation already to hell. Condemnation already to hell. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible tells us, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Guess what that is? Loss. You say, I just want to be on my own merits and I'll take what I deserve. No, you don't want that. You say, I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. You don't want that. That's loss. That's loss. We have that recompense of the reward here from our disobedience. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know what that would be like? That'd be like saying to someone, I want to give you $1 million free and clear. No thanks. I'm good. I'll live off my $50,000 a year. I don't need your million. Anybody out there, you'd make that decision? I don't think so. Right? No, but you know what? Time after time, circumstance after circumstance, individual after individual, neglect so great a salvation. They push it away. No, not right now. Oh, I'll consider it later. Or like the rich young ruler that came to Jesus that did have everything and for all intents and purposes was a somewhat righteous individual. Jesus said, listen, just go sell what you have, give it to the poor and come follow me. He says, the Bible says he went away sorrowful. For he had great possessions. You know what he chose? Loss. He chose the wealth of this world. I know. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's the principle of eternal profit and loss. They neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. God gave us the opportunity to profit, eternally profit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Your salvation is not a profit to anybody else but you. It's a profit to you. You get to profit because of what Jesus did on the cross. You get eternal life. You get heaven. And you get to have that as an eternal profit. And you get to avoid the eternal loss of damnation forever in a place called hell. You see, there's a principle here. As Jesus says in our text in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, we have accounts in Scripture of someone that went to hell, a rich man. And it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he cried out that, seeing Father Abraham afar off, and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, or I am tormented in this flame. You know what that is? Loss. It's loss. And Lazarus there, eternal prophet. You understand this principle. God wants us to understand that if we see things through his eyes, we'll see the correct profit and the correct loss in things. So not only is there eternal profit and loss, can I tell you something? There is physical profit and loss. You know, we've talked about in times past here from this pulpit that God wants his people to abound. Can I equate a word with that? Profit. Profit. You know what? It is not a bad thing to have a little money. It's not bad. Let me see how I'm doing today. Uh-oh. Not good. It's not a bad thing to have a little money. Did you know something? Let me blow your mind. Money is not evil. Yeah, thanks, Nathan. It's not. Did you know that? It's not wrong to have a little money. It's okay, isn't it? Oh, but what is wrong? The love of money is the root of all evil. Hey, don't love the stuff. We understand that there's physical profit. Hey, you know what? Is there a profit? Now, I'm not the greatest example of this, but is there a profit to being somewhat healthy and fit? There's profit. And all of you that have infirmities are saying amen, amen, amen. Right? Yeah. Hey, how many of you would like to do more for the Lord if you were physically able? Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? So is there a physical profit in life? Yes, there is. Having a wherewithal to do things. How many of you would love to give more to missions and love to do this and do that and do that? But listen, physically speaking, there's profit and loss. There's a physical element to it. So if you will, the world's not all wrong about it. I mean, it's good to be successful. Just make sure that the success is in God's time, in God's way, and not man's. In Proverbs chapter 14, Solomon said, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Hey, that's good. Having a long life's a profitable thing. It's a good thing. You know, the Bible tells us That bodily exercise profiteth little. But you know what? It does profit. So get those push-ups going. Those sit-ups. Those pull-ups. A little bit of jogging, perhaps. Or maybe yard work. Maybe that's the extent of your physical exercise. That's fine. Mine is, I do arm curls. My coffee cup goes up like this. My donut hand goes up like this. That's my exercise. This works, right? Y'all, most of you are with me in that, aren't you? Okay. but there is something to physical profit in our lives. Do you think that God wants his people to be all broken down, unhealthy, unprofitable servants to him? No, he doesn't. God wants us to live a healthy life and a good life and a physically able life. He wants us to have the wherewithal to have our needs met on a day-to-day basis. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, the Bible says, "Know therefore this day, and consider in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee this day." Why? Why should we follow after God and his laws and his ordinances and his testimonies and all these things? It says that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. God wants us to have a long, productive life. That's a profit. That's a good thing. In Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about the wicked. It says, "And they lay wait for their own blood. They look privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." You understand that if we do not live the right kind of life and we do not follow that type of thing, there is a physical loss associated with that. Hey, can I tell you something? If you smoke cigarettes, you're going to get cancer. If you chew tobacco, you're going to get cancer. If you drink too much, you're going to have an enlarged liver and you're going to have troubles. You understand? These physical things, they're going to happen because of what you do to your body. If you're out in the sun too much, right, you're probably going to get skin cancer. There's all kinds of things that work with that, aren't there? You know what? That's a loss. If we look at it in the eyes of God, our physical abilities, our abundance, our ability to live as servants of God, it's for his benefit and ours. So he can say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's a profit, folks. That's a profit. God wants us to have a long life. He wants us to prolong our days. He gives us the tools and abilities to do so. It's a profit to us to live for the Lord, to live righteously in this present world. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We've already mentioned this particular statement at the end of it, but I want you to see the rest of it in context. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 2. This is the physical profit of our life. In verse 2 in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit." You know what that is? Profit. "These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." You know what that is? Loss. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." You know, one of the biggest things that people struggle with today is depression. And anxiety. Why do they struggle with that? Because they're looking at it from a fleshly standpoint and not a spiritual one. "Since for we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment. Let's be there with content. You know what that is? Profit. Profit. But they which be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish, hurtful lusts. You know what that is? Loss. What's loss? Which drown men in destruction and perdition. Yeah, loss. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Loss. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know what? Money's a wonderful tool, but a horrible master. We need to learn to manage properly the things that God gives to us. In James chapter 4, the Bible says, go to now that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, as such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We know that the principle of physical profit and loss is explained in Luke chapter 6. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye shall meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know what? That's not to enjoy in heaven one day. That's a physical, right now, promise of God. It's physical profit or loss. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You see, why are you emphasizing this thing of physical profit and physical loss? Because it's where we live, folks. It's the here and now. Oh, listen, eternity is much more important. I understand that. And you understand that. But we're not there yet, are we? We have to deal with with this right now is what we're dealing with. It's important to have the right philosophy as it comes to profit and loss. What is it that really means profit or loss for us here in this physical life? Matthew chapter 6, there, verse 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. You say, isn't that important? Yes. But once again, just like the love of money is the root of all evil, if you are consistently worrying about these things, it will consume your life. And that will be a loss for you. He says this, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow has cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Hey, it's just how we look at it, folks. There is physical profit. There is physical loss. But it's all in the control of God the Father. We understand that God's the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's the one that will care for us. He's the one that will clothe us as he clothes the flowers of the field. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is that? Profit. Profit. God wants us to abound. He wants us to profit. He wants us to live a good life. Happy servants are good servants. Unhappy, discontented servants are not good, are they? You think God wants good servants or bad servants? Which one do you think he wants? I think he wants good ones. I think he wants ones that are fed. I think he wants ones that are cared for. I think he wants ones that live in abundance. It's a good thing. It's physical profit and loss. 1 John chapter 2 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's profit. That's profit. Hey, these things are necessary. Clothing, necessary. You wouldn't like it if I wasn't wearing any. Amen. Thank you. It's necessary. You know what? Money is kind of necessary, isn't it? Yeah. But if I seek after these things, there'll be a loss. But if I trust God and let him have control of my life, it'll be a profit. It'll be a profit. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's a perfect segue to the last thing I want to talk about today is simply spiritual profit and loss. Spiritual profit and loss. So we have eternal, having to do with your eternal, never dying soul. Profit, heaven. Loss, hell. Physical profit. Listen, if we are in abundance, happy servants. And if we're not, unhappy servants, discontented servants. God wants us to have the things that we need and have need of. Spiritually speaking, there is a profit and a loss. In Titus chapter 3, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things, what? Good works are good and profitable unto men. You know, us serving the Lord and doing works that we're created to do in Christ Jesus is profitable unto us. Remember the story. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Listen, it was not good for the other one, was it? It was a bad thing. It was a loss for him to not have done what he should have done with the talent that the master had given to him. Can I tell you something? God has given you eternal life. You're bought with a price. You are not your own. There is a spiritual profit and loss. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are not saved by good works, but rather unto good works. It's profitable for us to accomplish them. It's for our profit. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. It says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work be abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Prophet. Prophet. If any man's work shall be burned. I don't even have to say it. It says it for me. He shall suffer loss. Loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You understand that in the spiritual life, the life we get to live because of Jesus Christ and that eternal profit that we've received through salvation, there's a spiritual profit and a spiritual loss principle as well. In James chapter 2, the Bible says, what doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Right? Yeah. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. A spiritual profit. It's profitable for us. We know that these things are good and profitable unto men. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? And what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Is it the Spirit that quickeneth? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. We know, and I want you to take your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're going to finish there today. Romans chapter 8. But we know that life in the flesh, living a carnal life, is a loss to the spiritual man. And living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit is a profit unto us. As you turn there to Romans chapter 8, Proverbs says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. In the spiritual life, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's a spiritual profit to life. We know that Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's an eternal profit and loss. There's a physical profit and loss. There's a spiritual profit and loss. Are you there in Romans chapter 8? Look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hey, you know what? That's profit. Eternal profit. Listen to what he says. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We quickly switch from eternal profit and loss principle to spiritual profit and loss principle. If you walk after the flesh and are saved, you're like what it says in James. What it says in Corinthians, you're saved as by fire. You don't have the building that's supposed to be built upon the foundation, the right foundation in Jesus Christ. That's a loss for you. But rather, we're supposed to walk after the Spirit. Look what it says in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know what that is? Profit. as opposed to loss. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do bind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, loss. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, gain, profit. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, loss. Why do you want to be against God or God to be against you? I don't. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, loss. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know what? There's spiritual profit and spiritual loss. How many of you want to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ and have to say, I didn't do what you wanted me to do, God? That's loss, folks. That's loss. What a shame. We don't have to experience that loss. We can live the right kind of life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Don't you want that kind of life? Don't you want to press for the bark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Don't you want to have finished your course? Kept the faith? It's a crown of righteousness. For all of them that love his appearing, there is spiritual profit. Spiritual loss. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Back in our text, Jesus simply said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with the holy angels. There's an eternal profit, an eternal loss. There's a physical profit and a physical loss. And there's a spiritual profit and a spiritual loss. How's your ledger looking? Have you checked your account status lately? And I'm not talking about your bank account. Have you looked at the statements that have come in? How are you doing in the profit and loss category? Eternally, physically, and spiritually.